tied up. Right. Hopefully it works. Right. So I've got some passages here I'd like you to join in. I'm going to give them to Graham, and he's going to distribute them. One of you may end up with this one. It's quite long. If you don't want that passage, there are no difficult words in it. Please pass it on to the next person. And if it comes back to me, I'm really happy to read it. So don't just because you end up with a scripture doesn't mean you have to mean you have to read it. Okay, I need to be able to see the screen. There's so much light in here, I can barely see my iPad screen. Right, so this is where we are. Laodicea still exists. If you want to go and visit, I've never been, so I've only seen it from photographs, and it looks a magnificent archaeological site. You know, this is just one of the streets going downwards. This is one of the churches. Which church was being mentioned? It comes up in Colossians, but most notably in Revelation. Which one of the churches it references in Laodicea? I don't know. I don't know if anybody does. But God took me to this passage in Revelation, and it made me think about me. Would I fit in with that church, with where it was? Is that where I'm at? So that's my challenge to you this morning, to think about, would we as a body and we as individuals fit in with Laodicea, with what was going on? So let's begin to have a look at this. Do this right. So I'll read this. This is in the NIV. This is the passage. So this is Jesus speaking through John's vision. To my angel of the church in Laodicea, right. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, neither cold, nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and wear and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So a lot to take in there. It's a meaty passage, and I'm not going to do it justice in its entirety this morning, because there's so much. But these are the things that God raised up in me. Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I'm just not with it this morning. Right, so that passage starts off to the angel of the church in Laodicea, and we need to think about where is this church? And you see it there on the north of the Mediterranean, in what we now know as Turkey. Who's been to Turkey? Oh, yeah. So perhaps you've even visited. And the other churches that are mentioned in the opening chapters of Revelation, they're all scattered around that area. I think being ill has made me hopeless. Right, so we're focused in on the geography. Here is Laodicea, in this valley. And it's quite a thoroughfare. Got Ephesus over this way, you can see Colossae down here. And by Roman times, it was a major route. And Laodicea had become very wealthy with all this traffic, enormously wealthy. They'd also got quite an industry around textiles, and in part that's where their wealth lay. You see what looks like a little house here. It's the best drawing I could get, which to represent a medical school. All right, they had a famous medical school. So they had these enormous things going for them, and drew more and more people to them, and their riches grew exponentially. But their one weakness, they had no natural water supply to speak of. So if you look at the archaeological photographs, you'll see the aqueducts that they had, that a pipeway to pipe the water in for many miles. I want you to bear those things in mind, because they play out in the passage. So their wealth, their industry, their medical skills, and their lack of a natural water resource. So it's stuck there in this little valley. So that passage goes on. I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish. This is Jesus imploring. I wish you were one or the other. You know, what we want, what we desire, is to be on fire for God. You know, that, and that's what God desires. That's what the Spirit wants within us. That's what Jesus is saying. I want you to be hot, or really cold. You know, if you're not for me, you know, at least we know where you stand. But being lukewarm is not good enough for Jesus. And that's the thing. I think that's the main thing that spoke to me. Maybe God was saying something to me very personally. Lukewarmness. You know, it's almost abhorrent to Jesus, because he just wants to spit us out. You know, in some of the translations, to vomit us out. We're just not the sort of folk, if we're lukewarm, that Jesus wants. He wants us to be going for it, either fully for him, or if going the opposite direction, if that's our heart's desire. Because if we're lukewarm, remember, everybody can see us and can see our lukewarmness. And is that lukewarmness attractive to others? Are we pointing towards God? He needs us to be on fire, to really going for him, to be close to him, to be in his word, and his word to be in us. That lukewarmness is no good for us, and it's no good for other folk either. And Jesus will, as he said, spit us out. You say, and he's speaking predominantly to this church in Laodicea, but we need to hear these words, because we can become lukewarm by relying on our own resources. The church, that the people of Laodicea were saying, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. And that was a reality in that time. There was a huge earthquake around 60 years after Jesus was born in Laodicea, and the town was decimated. And the Emperor Nero said, you know, we'll send him resources. Much like today, you know, relief goes to wherever the tragedy is. And Nero said, you know, we're coming to your aid. And the people of Laodicea said, we don't need your aid. We're rich. And they've rebuilt the town out of their own resources. I am rich. I do not need a thing. In the natural, that was true. They didn't need a thing. They didn't need Nero's help. But also in their spirit, in their lukewarmness, they were saying, don't really need God. We've got it sussed. Got it sussed. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. You know, they could see their wealth, they could see their skills and their resources, but in truth they were wretched people. They were so lukewarm. And Jesus is saying, just come to me, come to me. I can give you riches more than you can understand. I can clothe you. You know, this sheep here, they were famous for their black sheep and the cloth that they made from the sheep. It's where a lot of their riches came from. But Jesus is saying, I want to clothe you in righteousness. Not in your fine linens. I want to clothe you in pure white garments that only I can offer you. I don't want you to rely on your riches. I don't know if you can see this panel here. It looks like it's being poked in the eye. That's because this medical school had become famous for its eye salve. They could cure eye conditions. But what Jesus is saying, it's only I that can truly put a salve on your eyes. Yes, in the natural, you're doing a wonderful thing. But in the spirit, in your lukewarmness, only I can treat your eyes so that you can see the truth, so that you can know the truth. To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I don't know if you've felt the rod of discipline in your youth. I certainly did. When I was Hazel's age, I was summoned before the headmaster, and I was duly caned. I can't even remember what it was for now. I mean, partly it's so long ago, I can't remember. But I can remember having to bend over at the headmaster's desk and be caned, and having to sign the punishment book that I've received, the just punishment for whatever misdemeanor I'd done. When I was Sophie's age, yeah, 11, 12. I may have told this story before, but I was dobbed in by my mates to my woodwork teacher. It's Andrew's birthday, and so the woodwork teacher took me to one side and got out his long strip of wood and chalked an X on one side and a naught on the other, and whacked me the commensurate amount of times to celebrate my birthday, and then sent me over to the metalwork teacher, who got out his metal rule, and he didn't chalk noughts and crosses, but he chastised my backside. So I felt the wrath of discipline, some of it just and some of it unjust. Yeah. Jesus needs to discipline us when we err, when we stray, when we become lukewarm. He needs to prod us. We need to respond to the Spirit so that we repent. And you know, the Father's discipline is a just discipline because He loves us. Somebody's got Proverbs 3:11-12. Now we have to remember, it's His love. Because He loves us so very much, He's trying to draw us away from being lukewarm or erring in any way. He wants to bring us back. Who's got the passage from Hebrews? Yeah, could you read it out? Pin your ears back, because this is about discipline. Pin your ears back, folks. You might want to close your eyes as Debbie reads this and let the words soak over you.
But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Thank you, Debbie. As that scripture says, none of us enjoy discipline. But we see the benefits, we realize the benefits. And as Jesus was saying in that earlier verse, he wants to clothe us in righteousness. You know, and that long passage that Debbie read out ends on that. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. You know, we can become clothed in that righteousness if we just respond to his discipline. If we repent, we come before him and repent. Whether it's of our sinful nature, of our lukewarmness, we can repent, be disciplined, and be drawn back. So this is where the passage comes to an end. And this is probably one of the most famous verses in the whole Bible. You can't go into a Christian bookshop and not find a poster or a postcard or something with this verse on, and perhaps slightly out of context sometimes. Here I am. Remember speaking to the church in Laodicea. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, Jesus so wanted to draw people, whatever their lukewarm state, and draw them to him so they could be hot and on fire for him. We tend to read that verse for people who aren't yet Christians, who haven't ever heard of Christ. But this is Jesus reminding us. He's speaking to us all the while, especially while we're erring, especially while we think we've got it sussed, my life is sorted, I've got the resources, life's going swimmingly. And we wander slightly away from God, and so we're in danger of becoming lukewarm. But this truth is for those who don't yet know Jesus also. He's constantly calling out. Who's got Revelation 2:7? To the one who is victorious. You know, don't you want to be in that place? Don't you want to be, you know, can you imagine being part of a victorious army and the emotion that goes with that? The sense of knowledge that you have about the side that you were on, the victory that you won. Well, Jesus is saying we can have all of that with him. He's giving us the right to sit with him, to eat with him, to sit with the Father. Yet we choose sometimes our own victories, the things that we've done, and take our eyes off what Jesus offered. Who's got Revelation 20 verses 4 and 6? As May said, a prophetic vision. And that can be our promise too, if we walk in that victory, that we will be fully resurrected with Christ, to be priests of God, enduring forever. Who's got the final bit from 2 Timothy?
If we endure, we shall surrender him. If we disown him, he will restore us.
And that's the warning, folks. That if we're lukewarm and cold, we won't reign with him. We won't be summoned by him. We won't be victorious with him. We won't wear that clothes of righteousness. We won't know the true wealth. We won't see what he's holding out for us, the promises to reign victorious with him. We will be disowned by Jesus. We will be disowned by the Father, because we've chosen an alternative pathway. So the challenge for us is to hear what the Spirit is saying to each and every one of us, and us as a body, through these words, through the words you've read, through Scripture as a whole. Do we take them on board? And are we on fire for God? Are we hot for God? Is the heat of his living word running through us? Or are we lukewarm? Because I've got it sorted. I've got it sussed. Or even worse, completely turning the other way. We need to hear. We need to hear Jesus. He's knocking on that door, the door of our hearts. He's speaking into us daily, if we will listen. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, you've given us a word of caution. Help us to always hear what you're saying through your word. respond to the promptings of your Holy Spirit, to hear the voice of your Son as he calls us and directs us. Because Lord, we realize that lukewarmness is not good enough. Not good enough for us. It's not good enough for the people we would seek to serve. And it's not good enough for you. So Lord, forgive us for those times where we may have been lukewarm. The times where we've relied on our own initiative, our own understanding, our own resources and skills, and not look to you. Yes, we come along and sing a few songs on a Sunday. I might occasionally read something in the Bible. But that's not what you want. You want our hearts, Lord. Father, we recommit our hearts to you, fully yielded, not giving way to things of the world and other desires, fully yielded to you. We ask, Lord, that you just help us to be true sons and daughters, true to your word, true to the service that you've called us to each individual plan and purpose that you've laid out for us all. And Father, we ask the same for the fellowship here and your church worldwide, but certainly the church in this village, that we would be focused on you and doing your will wholeheartedly for you, not for us, for you, Father. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to share communion, I think, now. Oh. Sophie, Hazel. Could you take the bread and the wine around to folks for me?